Podtecular episode 336, War Games Discussion for December 18th, 2012. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Podtecular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
I'm Daftlink.
And I'm Brent Gamer.
We are back after another week of wonderful Halo, and we've had some fun over the last week, and we are kind of ramping up to our kind of string of podcasts here that we'll be releasing over the holidays as we kind of take a break, but we'll be generating content. But in the meantime, we're going to be talking today about a big discussion topic that's been going on for a while now, ever since Halo 4 came out, and that's on the topic of war games, kind of how it feels, how it plays, and some of the stuff that we like about it, some of the stuff that we don't like about it, and just our general feelings of how war games has been. We did one of these shows for Campaign and Spartan Ops before, and now we're doing war games, and we kind of wanted to save this one for a separate one because there's been a lot of gripes about some little things in Halo 4, just with how the multiplayer works, that just kind of add up to in what some people have called a beta version of Halo. And then there's just some things in here. It's with a franchise such as Halo, you kind of want to take an awkward look at 343, and it's like, you really probably didn't want to do this with a franchise such as Halo, but this is their first game that they've done, so take it with a grain of salt and at least be objective to everything you hear. There are some things that are kind of broken with the game, and 343 is aware of most everything that's going on. They do read their tweets. They do read the forums, even though it doesn't seem like they respond to everything or they pay attention. They really do. And I know that they're, at least when talking with some people, I know that they're definitely on the lookout for what the community has to say. But on that topic, we're going to kind of go over what we have to say. But first, we had an update since our last podcast. We had a Halo Bulletin, so we're going to kind of cover the details in that real quick. So as of this recording, the latest bulletin came out on December 12th, and we have a couple of matchmaking updates. As you all know, there is a challenge that's out there right now that you can participate in. It is the Halo 4 Infinity Challenge, sponsored by Virgin Mobile. And this is the thing that we talked about last time, where you can go in and play Spartan Ops or War Games. And in War Games, there's actually a special playlist for that now. And you can try to play as much as you can, rank up, and be the best among these certain playlists, and kind of enter yourself into winning some pretty cool prizes. So that's something that you want to check out, then definitely head over to Waypoint, or you can do Halo4InfinityChallenge.com for more information there.
I affectionately refer to it as the Halo No Lifer Challenge. Affectionately.
I think that's pretty much accurate.
I'm not trying to be mean, but like, let's just be like realistic and honest with ourselves. Like, we all know the types of gamers who are going to win this. The types of gamers who have an infinity of time on their hands.
I see what you did there.
But like, listen, you know, I mean, like, that's who's gonna win. Let's just be honest about it. So it's like the guy from the World of Warcraft episode of South Park, like that kind of guy, that kind of gamer.
Right.
No offense to the winner, but
I feel that if you've wasted that much of your life on Halo, you deserve some kind of prize.
yeah, definitely.
You deserve a hoodie or something. Good job, buddy.
I mean, I really want to. I'm guessing this is more based off of XP, which is not really the best way to. I guess you can see kind of where your dedicated fans are, but it doesn't really match up skill and time played versus just someone who's sitting there playing the whole time. So I'm kind of with Daft on this. It's just pretty much whoever is playing the most Halo, at least for war games, in that playlist is going to be the one that ends up winning the grand prize. But there are definitely other smaller prizes that will be going out to people as well. So I hope they take into account people that would just sit at home all day to get this, and they actually consider some skill and some actual results of games involved with the decision making of who wins.
Because God forbid we have a contest where the, you know, skill is actually a factor.
Well, yeah. So hopefully they've taken that into account for this contest. Spartan Ops, I'm not exactly sure how they're tracking that. I guess they're just doing that based off of the scores you get, maybe based off of how many enemies you kill, how many different missions that you're able to do. And another thing is, does doing it in, like, how many people you play in co-op, does that count? Or does it have to be, like, all four people in the co-op mission? Because if there's four people in a co-op mission, then it's usually easier. Then if there's only two or three people whenever you do matchmaking, and it's usually a little bit harder. So there's lots of different variables that there's really not many details on the website on how they end up factoring the winner. But I guess just kind of go out and play as much as you can. I guess that's the best advice if you want to win first place for all this stuff. I've played in the War Games playlist a couple times, and it's just Infinity Slayer for the most part. There's nothing really special about it other than it's just a playlist, I think, specifically set aside for the Infinity Challenge. Have you guys checked it out yet?
No.
All right. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily expect you to. It's just kind of another one of those playlists. And if you think about it, it's just one of those playlists that's taking up another spot that another playlist could be occupying, like King of the Hill, cough cough.
No, I've said this before. Just compress all those into a team objective playlist, like always.
Yeah, Team Rocket's playlist.
Team Rocket's. Oh boy.
No, just bring back multi team. In there you go.
Multi team plasma pistols.
I hope we see a convergence. No secondary. I hope we see a convergence of playlists soon.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit of a purist. You know, with the playlist, like, they need to just, like, just be like how they've always been, and then they can have, like, a couple new ones, but just, like, just keep things the same.
Right.
That's all.
So, on top of the Infinity Challenge, that actually got announced 2 weeks ago, but in last week's bulletin, they released all of the awards that they actually managed to wrap up. As you guys know, this is pretty much the season for all the video games awards to come out for the year. So Halo 4 was able to pick up the best Xbox 360 game and best graphics from the VGAs. From GamesRadar, they picked up Shooter of the Year. And then from the Inside Gaming Awards, they received the best sound design, best competitive multiplayer, and best game of the year. So whichever, I guess, judging authority you look up to the most, those are, I guess, the three big ones that do their yearly awards, and those are the results for Halo 4.
Wait, did you mention Machinima?
That's Inside Gaming, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of expected. I mean, they're big Halo guys.
Yeah, but still.
Soda God and Dead Pixel and all of them.
Yeah. So, I didn't go out and read this specifically, but I definitely heard people talking about the kind of bias to Halo that Machinima has.
Okay.
So.
Well, I mean, it would be like asking me what my game of the year is.
It's like saying IGN has a bias towards Call of Duty. Like, yeah, they do.
Yeah.
People can have, like, biases. Like, you know, they don't have to be like Wikipedia. They don't have to be totally neutral. It's like it's a free internet.
Well, as a kind of reputable game news source, and not just specifically one game, I think a lot of people expect it to be as neutral as possible, but you just have to realize that it's not the kind of world we live in.
I mean, they're human beings. You know, yeah. they have an opinion.
Yeah, so. But good job to Halo for getting that award for Game of the Year from IGAs.
Good job.
Good job. Yay!
I'm surprised they beat stuff like Mass Effect 3. Like, you know, you think like that'd be the one, right? Or
there's a weird kind of paradigm that happens with games that come out really early in the year, and then ones that kind of come out around this holiday time frame. The ones that come out during the holiday are more forefront, and the ones that people are paying more attention to than the ones like Mass Effect 3, which is a really good game, which I've played and has a fantastic storyline, but it kind of gets left behind the dust because of how soon in the year that a game like that gets released. So a lot of the games that you see get awards for are usually ones that come out probably in the last half of the year.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of inevitable.
Imagine if BioWare had spent all this time still working on Mass Effect 3 and released it like last November. Okay. And they had actually made an ending that people liked. That game would have probably taken Game of the Year.
Yeah. I think a big contender for Game of the Year, like probably the biggest threat to Halo, would be Borderlands 2. Right? Because that was like amazing, apparently. That got like 9s and 10s across the board.
Borderlands was a huge one.
Yeah. And that was a great game. I mean...
Yeah. Well, I mean, there were lots of good games this year. Assassin's Creed 3.
I'm interested to see what would have happened if Bioshock Infinite had actually come out this year as previously planned, because like that game looks amazing, like you know, mind blowing amazing.
But I mean, now they're in that same category, right? Where they're going to have to release in early 2013, and by the time the 2013 awards come around, nobody's going to really remember Bioshock.
People remember Bioshock. More so than Mass Effect,
yeah,
just because the story is amazing.
Bioshock was special for its time because, I mean, nobody was doing any kind of story that was meaningful in any way around the time Bioshock came out. I mean, that was like a literal satire of objectivism. And, yeah. I mean, nobody was doing that. Nobody was talking about politics or anything.
Well, no, Infinite looks to kind of do that, like not necessarily objectivism again, but like, you know, the whole, it's like the factions in the city, it's like socialism versus like nationalism. I mean, they're doing that political like ideology stuff. I mean, the story does look pretty interesting in Infinite as well.
I know, but it's kind of like rehashing what BioShock already did with a new skin. You know, it's like, yeah, I mean, but that's what I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to have the same impact that the original one did.
Well, they're kind of doing like commentaries for each game, right? Like, Bioshock 1 was objectivism, Bioshock 2 was like, I don't know, like DNA splicing, I guess, like the whole like genetic science.
Collectivism.
Yeah. And now this is just straight up like American politics, which is very exciting. And in my opinion, it should have come out before the election like it was planned. That would have been like awesome. That would have been some great hype right there.
I'm still...
Damn you, Ken Levine.
I haven't played any Walking Dead, and I know a lot of people like it, and it's based off the TV series, but I'm still a little surprised that got Game of the Year. I don't know if you guys have even heard anything about it. I've seen a couple of episodes of the TV show, but that's about it.
I can't say whether or not it deserves to be Game of the Year because I've never played it. I mean, I might, you know, play it and find it's the most amazing game on the planet and it really did deserve Game of the Year. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I forget who the nominees were. I believe Borderlands 2 was definitely one of them, though.
That was an odd set of nominations for Halo for the VGAs.
Wait, you mean for the awards that it was up for?
Yeah.
So
it was nominated for Studio of the Year, 343 Studios, but it wasn't nominated for Game of the Year. So that means that one of the studios in the Game of the Year category didn't make Studio of the Year. And then Jen Taylor she was nominated for female.
Yeah, voice she was actor nominated, but Steve Downes was not nominated for the voice actor of Chief. That was odd.
But
I did
Master
find that
Chief
odd.
Was nominated for Character of the Year and Cortana wasn't. Even though people are pretty much in agreement that Cortana was probably the best character in Halo 4.
Yeah, the character in the campaign, yeah. I don't know, the VGAs, in my opinion, are so far messed up. As most people that you see tweet about it, the thing that they're there to watch are the world premieres. That's pretty much the only reason to watch the VGAs.
Yeah. See, you can make a whole like episode out of the Cortana, the story thing, the character, and just the relationship between her and John.
Well, we kind of did. That was that was kind of our last show,
I guess. Like,
and we're definitely gonna have more shows about it. I mean, it's just a big topic that
they did it really well, but it could have gone bad like so easily. Like, I feel like at any moment it could have very easily turned into some like, you know, fan fiction. Like, what is this like romance? You know, what is this? She's a computer, like, you know what I mean?
Well, it's still not really over yet either.
No, I know, but like, okay, like for example, like that scene. Can I say this? Can I see the?
Yeah, go for it.
Spoilers off.
Go for it.
That scene where he's like in the computer world, right? Like right at the like the end of the campaign, like, and she walked up to him, kind of thing. You know, I was like don't make this stupid. You know, this could get really kind of dumb. Like, they better not, like, kiss or something. You know what I mean? Like, that could have gotten really kind of, like, gay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they did it, like, as well as they could have in that context.
Well, it really struck home the driving point of something that Cortana said earlier in the campaign is figure out which one of us is the human, which one of us is the machine. And that was a direct flashback to that quote and just kind of the relationship that Chief and Cortana has had throughout their whole existence together.
Spoiler, it turns out they're both machines.
That's yet to be revealed.
Yes. So, man versus machine.
Indeed. So, but we'll definitely talk more about Cortana stuff later. I mean, it's a big open can of worms now that they've introduced now with Halo 4. So it's definitely a high talking point.
Regardless, Sarah Palmer is my character of the year. Those other eggheads.
Something.
They don't cut it.
Something still. There needs to be a little more something from her in this next 5 episodes in terms of kind of revealing her character a little more, I think.
Well, she needs to, like, show up on the field and just start kicking.
Well, I think we're. Probably
that would make me happy.
I think we're going to see that a little bit with, I mean, if you saw the trailer, I mean,
yeah.
I think we're never going to see her in with one of your missions, but you're definitely going to see her in the live action stuff, the CG stuff leading up to the missions, all the episodes. So that's where if she's ever fighting something, that's where you're going to see it happen.
I don't know if like the Palmer thing is that big of an issue because like, I mean, she kind of serves her role. Like, she is what she is. She's, you know, the commander. She's your boss.
Yeah.
I don't see how they're going to flesh out a character that much through like, you know, some voice work during like a Spartan Ops mission. You know what I mean?
Right. And I was going to say the only thing I have to add to that opinion is it's, from talking with other people, it's pretty much my opinion from what it sounds like. And I'm cool with that. It's not.
I guess it's something you could point out.
Yeah. It's just be it's something a, to be nice.
It's something you could point out, but I don't think it's like a giant issue like everyone's concerned about.
No, it's definitely not.
It's like a very nitpicky.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
You know what I want? A
Purple
new
unicorns?
Live action movie about Sarah Palmer.
Ooh. I'd take a book. Just to be honest, see how she got roped in with Oni.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting.
Well, they made a whole book about Keys, right, with the Cole Protocol. I mean, that
yeah,
was
they did.
His like, you know, whatever the word.
Kind
well,
of.
You know, it's like kind of how he got his start, you know.
And yeah, I see what comparison you're trying to make.
He was like the main. Well, I mean, I don't want to say main character because there was kind of like an ensemble cast in that book, but
no, he was a focus like, character.
Yeah, he was like your main guy, like within the UNSC, like part of the story.
Right. Yeah. Right. But moving on with the bulletin, there are still some issues with file share and stuff that they have reported. There are things not working, and there's the searching stuff is still offline. They said that some of the stuff that they're trying to implement is taking longer than expected, so they are working on trying to get all that stuff up and running as quickly as they can. And they actually brought someone new on last week, according to their bulletin from last week, to help them with war game stuff. So it definitely looks like they're trying to kind of compensate for all the stuff that they haven't anticipated that well. We'll probably talk about that a lot later. So file share stuff is still finicky at this point. So the surefire way to get someone's files off, and this is kind of hoaxy, but have someone send you a message and then with that message, you can go to their profile, and then while you're in Halo 4, you can go to their file share. I know it's not the best solution, but it's kind of the temporary one that's out there until they can actually get stuff working. You can also search by gamer tag. I believe that still works in Halo 4. So you can't search by tags, like if you search for maybe like a lockout or something. That kind of stuff doesn't work, but you can still search for someone's gamer tag, I think, on the search within Halo 4, and you can find someone's specific roster that way. There was a title update that came out 2 weeks ago, approximately, that had a few minor fixes. There's nothing major in terms of gameplay and stuff, but this is more stuff that has to do with little things to the game. Like they're still doing bugs on maps. They're still fixing those. some of the things that have been found to have been applied in the update is some of the ending kill cams wouldn't work properly in some of the game types. There was an issue with DLC only working on the profile that it got downloaded with, when it should have worked with all profiles on an Xbox that it was downloaded to, so that's been fixed. Launching Halo Waypoint from the Halo 4 menus no longer crashes your console. So if you guys heard me talk about that on one of our earliest episodes, that actually was one of the big things that kind of drove me mad for a little bit, was the fact that if you tried to go to Waypoint from Halo 4, you had to restart your console. And then there is a Last Strike medal in matchmaking that they've implemented. Theater's still, some of the things are still kind of broken with theater, just some of the normal stuff. And apparently, at least according to this one thing I'm reading, the super throw glitch, the one where you sprint and throw a grenade at the same time, was supposed to be fixed in this, but I think some people discovered that it actually was not. So there's still a couple other things that they've been implementing on a week-to-week basis. This TU just seems to be more of a collection of, or just a bigger collection of updates. But what's happened behind the scenes, I'm not really sure. Because I tried looking on Waypoint for the post about it, because I thought they had one and I couldn't find it. But hopefully we'll get a bigger TU update sometime early next year, whenever we get the skill ranks.
January.
Yeah, so supposedly the actual skill ranks will, or some form of them, they haven't specified how those are going to be affected. Or how they're going to show up in game for Halo 4, but those will be implemented supposedly sometime early next year, and that's kind of theorized as being January timeframe, maybe February.
Yeah. I guess I should just put this out here. So reading a lot of what the community has to say in the Waypoint forums and the Podtacular forums, it seems that by about everyone's estimation, the November phase was like the beta, basically, like the specializations everyone got. It's like, hey, thanks for playing the beta. And they're going to, they're cleaning up the game now in time for Christmas, for all the kiddies getting it for Christmas. I saw one guy say that. I mean, I think he's onto something a little bit. And of course, after Christmas and into January, in January, we'll get the real ranking system. So perhaps by the end of January, they'll have patch and updated. We might even have a real TU by then. Maybe that's early for that. Maybe that's, you know. But so the point is, by January or February, with the game cleaned up and real ranks, by then we will finally have gotten the game that we should have gotten at launch, by people's estimations.
I think that's kind of fair to say.
Yeah.
That's all.
Doesn't that kind of make you a little disappointed that there wasn't a beta, though?
A little bit.
Absolutely. And, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course, I was just disappointed because I wanted to play Halo 4 early. But.
Well, I mean, there's kind of a caveat to both sides, but before we get to that real quick, I want to cover something that we forgot to cover on the last podcast that we did together, and that was the Crimson Map Pack achievements. So this kind of slipped my mind as we were wrapping stuff up. But just kind of want to go over those really quick before we dive into our War Games discussion, which will be quite lengthy probably. So there are 8 achievements in the Crimson Map Pack achievement list, and they all have to be done on the Crimson maps. I don't think I've seen any of them pop up or any person report that they pop up on other maps. So these are ones that you definitely have to do on the Crimson maps. But they are Now They Fly, which is get an airborne kill while in a Warthog, and that's 50 gamer score. Size is Everything, which is kill 20 enemies with a detached machine gun turret, which is 20 gamer score. ODST, which is kill a player while you are airborne using a man cannon, which is 30 gamer score. Now, this one is one of the ones that is bugged, because I actually got it from at least a specific situation I was in. I was jetpacking, a grenade blew up under me, and I killed someone as I was falling from my jetpack, and I managed to get this one. So this one is a little bit glitched. I'm guessing if you actually go out of a man cannon and kill someone, that'll be a surefire way to get it, but there's also other little glitches about the achievement where you can get it in other means. There's Bigfoot, which is kill 20 enemies using the Mantis's stop attack, or the thing that you do if you hit melee, and that's 20 gamer score. David and Goliath, which is board an enemy Mantis, and that's 20 gamer score. Clay Pigeon, which is shoot an enemy out of the air while they use a man cannon for 40 points, 40 gamer score. Special Delivery, which is kill an enemy with a melee attack while landing from a man cannon, which is 30 gamer score. I also got that one using a jetpack and not a man cannon. And then Pump Your Brakes, score the killing blow on a Mantis, which is 40 gamer score. And you can do that with any weapon. Like I got it with a DMR. So, but those are the 8 achievements that we have in the Crimson map pack, and that is a total of 250 gamer score. All right, on to the big topic of the podcast, and that is War Games. What our thoughts are about it, all the bugs that we have kind of addressing us at the moment, whether or not it's a beta, whether or not this is the game that we were expecting, does this really live up to past Halo multiplayer systems, all that good stuff. So the first thing I want to tackle is, we've already touched on this already, is whether or not Halo 4 is quote-unquote a beta. Now, from a technicality standpoint, it is a final version despite all of its bugs, so it's technically not a beta, but understanding where people are coming from is kind of a big thing here. So one of the issues that a lot of people had really early on was the fact that 343 came out and said they were not going to have an open beta. Now, I know that there were, I personally know some people that were able to beta test the game, and there are some pros and cons to that. The big con to it, which I think is something that for a game in this scale, it is kind of necessary if you want something to really be successful out there. You don't get the massive scale that you get with people being across different regions when they're doing matchmaking. So things like network latency, lag, which has become a lot more apparent recently, the possibility of joining games in progress, whether that algorithm works on people that might be further away from each other and getting matched up on different servers or whatnot. So I think that's one big point, one big part of it. And then another thing is just having a bigger test base to have your game tested with kind of provides a way to find more bugs quickly. So, and yeah, there are a lot of bugs that a lot of people have found and a lot of people have complaints about. Now, I don't think any of them individually measure up to that of Armor Lock. I think we can all agree on that. But there's definitely a significant amount of bugs, glitches, issues that a lot of people have that kind of once they sum up is it gets to the point where it's just a little ridiculous and you kind of look at the game even as being a fan, as a big Halo fan as myself and all of us here, is you just have to take a step back and it's like, is this really the game I've been playing for the last 10 years? Is this kind of the reputation that the game has built? And you also have to think about, this is 343 Studios. They're technically a new game studio and they're kind of tinkering with stuff in their own way. And they've redone the code base and everything else, just like the last games. But some of the people know the game pretty well. Some of them don't. I don't know what the ratio is from coders that worked on the past Halo games to coders that are working on this Halo game.
It has to be 50-50. Because, I don't know, sometimes it seems like for everything they do really well, there's something else that like negates it in a small way. A little bit.
Yeah, so it's... At one point, it's like you have to give 343 a little slack, but at the same time, there's just the sheer amount of issues that people have and that a lot of people share between each other is almost overwhelming to that point. So the first topic is whether or not this is a beta. Daft, you've expressed this pretty much before, and I know we've had our offline discussions, and I kind of agree with the statement that this is definitely something that is not bug-free. There are plenty of bugs and something that probably should have had an open beta.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Armor Lock and mentioned Reach, because I don't know if you copied and pasted this one discussion we had one time, but comparing Reach and Halo 4, it's like, regardless of how you felt about Reach, like people's opinions on it, no one was saying that it was a broken game full of bugs. It was the style that they were complaining about. But as far as like the technical side, you know, it was a very finished, very polished Halo game. Not a whole lot of bugs. You know, it was just the style people didn't like. Like things like armor lock and just armor ability in general. The style was the issue. With Halo 4, it's almost the opposite. People love the style because it feels more like Halo 3. But it's just full of bugs and broken things and like imbalance, and you know, it's like the opposite. If they could just clean up that stuff, like they already have the style, just clean up the technical stuff and it'd be like perfect.
Well, and that's probably one of the things that they can actually more easily clean up in the back end. Now, granted, it's kind of unfortunate that they're having to do this after the game is launched, but I definitely think it's something that it seems like they're able to do. The only downside to that is it's just taking them a long time, and the fact that they're having to go through unforeseen circumstances just means that they really were not prepared for the multiplayer aspect of this game.
Yeah.
So,
well, I was talking to shout out to KillerK34. Him and I were having this kind of discussion. Basically, we kind of came to the consensus that it seems like they spent about like 2 years kind of digging around on story and concept stuff. Sketching concept art all day, and then it's almost like they had to cram in the actual game development, which is like, remember like why we didn't see like anything substantial for so long? We just saw concept art.
I think that's it right there.
Yeah, that's it right there. Like we're like, where's this game? All we have is the teaser and in these concept art sketches. Where's this game? Should we be getting worried? And obviously, yeah. I mean, it was worth getting worried. There was something that meant something right there. It meant that they crammed in the actual game development, or they didn't know what they were doing. I don't know. And now the game development is basically carrying on past the launch date with patches and the fixes now, which shouldn't be the case.
And the downside to that is now you have people that are working on DLC. You have people that are probably now starting to kind of transition into working on concepts for the next game. When in reality that there's a game at the forefront that kind of needs to have a little bit more attention drawn to it. And I actually had this discussion with you last week where we definitely didn't have much information for a while, and kind of seeing the game come out, it's definitely clear that 343 was backing off of the fact that Halo 3 had a fantastic multiplayer And if they were able to bring that experience back, that people would really come back to the multiplayer side of Halo 4. And for the most part, it feels very good when and I enjoy playing Halo 4 a lot of the time. It's just every now and then, whenever those bugs pop up, it's just kind of like a, oh yeah, that's still there. It doesn't happen all the time. There's some people out there that just are there to exploit the bug sometimes, but most of the time when you go into a game, they're really not that evident. It's just when you kind of focus in and pay attention that you really spot the stuff. And for people like us who are big fans of the game, those kind of things tend to stick out like sore thumbs. But going back to Dap's point, it does definitely seem like they were really focusing on bringing the story around. They put a lot of time and effort into making sure that they can incorporate all the books into the storyline, which I'm not completely opposed to. I thought the Halo 4 story, the campaign story, was fantastic. The fact that reading the books helped, we discussed on the last show, it may leave some people out just because of how involved you have to be with the external fiction in order to get some of the finer details in the campaign. But for someone like me, I really enjoyed the story. And it's definitely evident that they put a lot of thought into it, but at the same time, it seems like they left a lot of effort out in the multiplayer side of things. And that's something that you can't just rely on the past title and a style to really say that you're going to have a fantastic multiplayer. So I think the general consensus here is it definitely feels like we're playing a quote-unquote beta version of the game. There's things that we have issues with the game that should be things that have needed to be caught before the game got released, and whether or not they just didn't have the team big enough or they didn't have enough time is unfortunate at this point, because the numbers in the playlist aren't as high as I think it would be if things were a little bit more rounded out and solidified. Because honestly, I thought the numbers for Halo would actually be a lot bigger than they are right now on the playlists.
No, Dustin.
No?
This isn't like the Halo 4 beta.
Am I wrong?
No, this is not like the Halo 4 beta at all. This is like an early alpha build of Halo 4. It's that
so,
awful.
I'm
just joking. It's okay.
Call it what you will. From a technicality standpoint, it's not a beta, but I definitely understand where everyone is saying it's like we're playing a beta. So hopefully 343 comes around and is able to get some of these things resolved quickly. Although it seems like they're kind of biting the bullet on this one. Things were taking a lot longer than expected to get things ironed out. So hopefully they learn from this experience with Halo 4 and they kind of rebalance their focus on making sure they iron out all the details with the war game stuff or whatever the multiplayer experience is called from here on out. And the campaign is still important, but the multiplayer side of stuff is equally as important, because there's definitely a strong community base that focuses on the campaign and the story of Halo, and there's an equal size community that really focuses on the multiplayer. So you got to cater to both of those audiences equally, and it doesn't seem like 343 really did this with Halo 4. Well,
they also need to remember that the people playing multiplayer are going to be playing it every day, as opposed to the people who are interested in the campaign. If the only thing you do is play the campaign, it is highly unlikely that you're playing it every day after release, you know?
True.
But with the multiplayer, people are going to be playing, you know, 2 or 3 years after release, you know? I mean, they're going to be playing up until Halo 5 comes out.
Right. And that's where they need to kind of look at rebalancing their focus.
Because if people are going to be playing it all the time, it needs to work.
Yeah, and if you want to be able to contest with other games out there like Battlefield 3 and Call of Duty, then you want to make sure that your multiplayer experience is solid and that it's as bug-free, and or at least make sure the bugs aren't that visible or accessible to people. And that way you'll have a solid seat up there in the matchmaking boards.
Would you rather have small bugs in campaign or in matchmaking?
Campaign.
Obviously.
Yeah, because with a campaign, at least you can have an experience where you don't have to exploit the bug in order to enjoy the campaign or play it the way it was intended to be played. Where in multiplayer, if there's a bug and if there's a way that people can take advantage of it, people are going to use it all the freaking time.
Yeah, I mean, the Promethean Knights are not going to be taking advantage of a bug in the campaign.
Well, they might. That'd be funny.
Well, I mean, they're scripted a certain way. I don't think...
It was a joke.
I don't think they can... Or no, I don't know. Maybe they're Prometheans. Maybe they can become sentient and figure out those bugs.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely smarter. Definitely this smarter game's cheating. than the Covenant, that's for sure. Like you know... Going from dealing with a Promethean to like an elite, it felt like I'm dealing with like a, you know, gifted program, you know, right, high up their kid versus like a special ed. Like the Covenant, they seem so idiotic compared to these Prometheans who are just like, they seem so genius.
Well, they also have more shield health, don't they?
It takes more shots to face a Promethean than an elite. Just their tactics
seem superior. With the teleportation, like the Covenant kind of just, they do, I mean, they're Covenant, they do it old school, you know?
I find it's easier to run up and scatter shot or shotgun a Promethean than it is an elite.
Yeah, the only thing that I've actually, when I did my first run through on Heroic, and that was the one I started with, I had actually more problems surviving Covenant battles than I did Promethean battles. To me, all the Prometheans had was harder to take them down for the Knights because they just had more health and shields that you had to beat out of them. But in terms of like the AI strategy, it seemed like the Covenant still had an upper hand on the Prometheans. And maybe that's just my experience on it, but the Covenant actually gave me a harder time than the Prometheans did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jackals with beam rifles are more intimidating than crawlers.
And I remember a couple times we would just come up on an area and you, like that one sniper alley one, you just peek over and then you get shot by about two or three of them at one time. It's like, yep.
Oops.
I remember those again. Next time I come around the corner.
And then you get shot again anyway.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, dang it! So there's definitely needs to be a rebalance of effort, I think. And the fact that they hired someone on this last week to kind of help out the multiplayer team, I hope is a sign that they've kind of acknowledged that they're maybe a little understaffed or underutilized for getting stuff done in a timely manner. Because every week in the bulletins, they do address what bugs that they're able to fix and get out there. But what it seems like in talking with people from the timelines that they're trying to accomplish, it seems like their schedules kind of get behind by a couple of days. So I think they're kind of biting off more than they can chew at this point on some of the stuff that they've delivered with the multiplayer. So let's talk about some of the specific aspects of the multiplayer stuff that we have issues with. One of my biggest gripes is the bolt shot. Because it's basically a shotgun in your back pocket. It's probably the most secondary used weapon that I've seen in playing with everyone. And it's very cheap.
Yeah, you know what? It's the new noob combo. And it's so noobish. You don't even need to pull out your BR after the charge up. Because the charge up just kills them.
Right.
Think about that. It's even worse.
Well, and I've been shot at certain ranges where I would even question the shotgun being able to kill me at that range.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So...
the shotgun kind of has, like, insane range in this game, it feels.
I haven't used
like the
shotgun.
I feel like the scattershot has better range than the human shotgun.
Yeah, because...
But less power overall.
Well, the shotgun doesn't get dropped as much.
No, the scattershot feels... The scattershot feels weak sometimes.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, maybe I just don't have like the style of it down, like the handling of it. But
I think the scatter shot's a little bit harder to use. It's because it definitely feels odd when I use it.
It feels slower.
But I have gotten like significant sprees while using it that have just been kind of out of luck. So I think the scatter shot,
shotgun.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of a different skill set than the shotgun. But another thing is the shotgun really doesn't spawn. Or is a choice as much as the scatter shot is. I would really like to see that be weighed differently in the ordnance drops, to be honest, because the only time I've really used a shotgun is whenever I get an ordnance drops, and that might be like once a week, or whenever I play flood mode. So I think it's kind of unfair to really match the scattershot and the shotgun without them being able to be kind of equally used in a certain play space. But back to the bolt shot, one of the things that a lot of people kind of gripe about is it really shouldn't be too much more powerful than a plasma pistol. Now, if you're right up on somebody, if they're 2 feet away from you, sure, an overcharged bolt shot. I mean, if they're getting that close to you and they don't see that you have a bolt shot at that point, then yeah, they're pretty much screwed. But being able to shoot someone from about 10 feet away, and possibly a little more with one shot from the bolt shot just seems ridiculous. It seems just really overpowered, and the ability that you can just whip something out that quickly, and the charge time is, I think, maybe less than a half a second to charge that bolt shot up and then release kind of the full effect. So all in all, I think that is a kind of a cheap secondary. The fact that you have a weapon that has the possibility of an insta-kill that you can just whip out is kind of broken, in my opinion, and they just need to nerf that weapon. It doesn't need to be nerfed much, but it just needs to be nerfed to the point where you can't get ridiculous long-distance kills off of it out of range that shouldn't be getting kills from.
The thing is, I think the issue is, or at this point, they're probably not sure how to nerf it without just turning it into like a plasma pistol ripoff. You know what I mean?
So like, we've seen
do you downgrade the charge up? Well, you could say, don't kill them. It'll just take away the shield. But we already have that. It's a plasma pistol. So like, what do you do with the charge up? You know, it's just like, how do you be creative with that weapon?
So it already has it's a shorter charge up than the plasma pistol is, I think. And it's not one big bolt. It's a lot of different not shells, but it's a lot of different pieces, kind of like the shotgun. I'm blanking at the moment. So it's more or less a mauler in this case. That's kind of what you would equate it to.
Yeah, but you can get headshots with it.
Yeah,
if you're not using the charge shot.
The secondary.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as accurate as a human pistol, but you can still get headshots with it and kill crawlers that way.
But see, that's another point. So on top of having the kind of short range insta kill, you can have that the long range headshot. So it's dual purpose, and then you have it overpowered on one side. So it there definitely needs to be some kind of balance somehow with that weapon. Because I don't have it as my secondary, but if I need to, I'll definitely pull it off the ground and use it to kill some people.
Yeah.
Or if I'm going for commendations, because there's some games where I just purely go for commendations, and I'll pull out a bolt shot loadout so I can get the commendations and be done with it. Because personally, my weapon of choice is the DMR, so I'll use that one all day long if I can.
So my question is, does the bolt shot validate the noob combo at this point? If it's okay to charge up your bolt shot and kill somebody from 10 feet away with it, does that mean it's also okay for me to charge up a plasma pistol and then shoot you in the head after I pitch you with the charge shot? Because that actually took more skill, in theory, because I had to change my weapon out and then shoot you in the head. Traditionally, people don't use the noob combo because it feels cheap. Like, even the best, I mean, you just don't want to do it. I mean, sometimes you'll find yourself doing it, but it doesn't happen as often as...
I mean,
it probably would if you're playing just to get kills, like, at an optimum rate. You could get a lot of kills with the noob combo, just running in there and killing people.
Right. If the opportunity arises and I have both of them, I do it. It's not like I go out there to specifically try the noob combo. I really don't think, and this is definitely map dependent, but I don't think that kind of opportunity really presents itself on a regular basis to pull out the noob combo. But the noob combo is a little more longer range than the bolt shot instant kill is.
Yeah. Well, it also has a lot of applications, but I'm saying
yeah.
generally it's best in kind of close quarters situations, like the bolt shot.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to be getting cross-kills with the noob combo, but...
I want to say the noob combo maybe a little bit more validated just because it seems like the weapon switch in Halo 4 is significantly longer than it has been in the past games. I don't know what it is about that, it feels like whenever I switch between weapons, there's a long switch time.
I feel like they did that in a way to validate the dexterity mod so that you could tell the difference when you use dexterity that you're getting that weapon swap speed boost.
But even without the dexterity, it seems like reloading, by the time you have to switch your weapon and then recenter your reticle, reloading is almost just as fast, depending on the weapon you have.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, if you have a Magnum, if you empty a Magnum clip, it's... I mean, I haven't tested this specifically, but it would seem like it'd be faster to reload the Magnum than to switch to something like a DMR or BR, just because the reload is only just slightly longer than switching weapons. That's another little a tiny gripe I have with Halo. It's more something just a personal peeve. It's not something that's like a game breaker or anything, but that's another little quirk I have about Halo 4 multiplayer that I don't quite like. Let's see. I don't know if they fixed this in the TU update. But there was the issue, where on some games, if you had invisibility and you were squatting, if you were crouching, then the blue diamonds on the radar wouldn't show up. So you wouldn't show up on the radar and you would be invisible at the same time. I've fallen victim to that plenty of times, and it's definitely, I come out saying, where the heck did this guy get me from? And then I see that he's using invisibility on the kill cam. It's like, oh, he's exploiting that glitch. So I think that glitch is still in there. Don't quote me on that. But I want to say I have had a game recently where that has still happened to me.
It's not a glitch. It's a feature.
You say that about a lot of things. We have... they keep on... And this is on a weekly basis, but they fill in... kind of the holes that people find in the maps. Some people, like the big one for a while was the on complex in the warehouse. You could actually jump up into one of the doors and kind of be embedded behind some textures where you couldn't get shot or take damage from unless someone went up there and either threw a grenade in there or went in and came and killed you. So it was a big exploit location using or during oddball games. And what they're doing for a lot of these maps is they're able to go into the custom map file and add in some stuff in there. So these are changes that don't affect globally to the whole game. But if you want to use the quote-unquote fixed version, you would basically have to download the maps from your temporary history and save them to your hard drive in order to use them. So that's one thing. That they've been working on a weekly basis as well. I've talked a lot. So what are some of the other guys that you kind of have issues with Halo 4 multiplayer?
Well, the thing is how I have an official list.
Yeah. So go for it.
On the forum. Let me just bring it up. Give me a sec. Brent, talk quick filler.
Oh yes. You know, I really haven't played as much matchmaking as I would like. I mean, as far as war games goes, I've been playing a lot of Spartan Ops. When I do go into war games, I usually just get killed with the bolt shot and get really, really mad because I don't expect that much range on the teeny little pistol, you know? I mean, you just don't expect that kind of range on that weapon. And so it takes you off guard, and when you get killed that way, you feel like you're cheated.
Uh-huh.
So the bolt shot's really just the biggest gripe I've had so far.
It's the one I hear the most complaints about. It's definitely one of those, really, how did you let this slip by?
Yeah.
How did this even go past the internal playtests?
And how do you fix it at this point?
Yeah.
That's the big question.
So I mean, they were able to fix stuff in the game types, like the whole Reach TU update, which was more of a just kind of they did the stuff in the game types. There may be a way to do it in the game types for matchmaking where you're able to kind of tune each weapon specifically to a certain amount of damage. That may be an option at this rate. It does seem like a lot of the stuff that they've done with the game has made things more modular, so they can go in and change a lot more things than they could with Reach or Halo 3. So yeah. I think a lot of the stuff that may be kind of tied into the map file, they may have kind of moved that off onto the custom map settings. So I'm guessing that's kind of how they re-architecture some of the multiplayer stuff.
At Maybe least they that's can my hire theory. Bungie.
Well, they're working on Destiny, and
yeah. Well, I mean, Bungie just sends in like three guys who come in and fix it miraculously. They make the entire matchmaking experience fantastic. Halo multiplayer will be saved forever.
So you want me to read my list now?
Yeah, yes. Go for it.
Bad stuff in war games. The pace of the game in general is way too fast. Needs to be slowed down. You get killed too fast. Guns like the BR and the DMR are too powerful. Maybe not the BR, but I think the DMR is a little powerful. You could use just a minor nerf. Bolt shot charge-up is ridiculous. We went over that. Instant respawn makes little punishment for dying, overcrowds the maps way too fast.
Actually, I actually kind of find an opposite effect of that, because I'll spam X to respawn, and I'll go back into a fight, and I'll just die immediately again. So there's almost like an art form to whether or not you want to instantly respawn or not.
Okay. Well, I guess those both go hand in hand. The pace of the game and respawning. Slow down the pace and get rid of instant respawn. Problem solved.
So I personally really like the pace of the game. I like the fact that I can be in a firefight and I guess for me, it fits my playstyle very well. I'm a more aggressive player, and I like to get into the fight quickly, get shots on people. And for objective game tests, I really like to get in there, clean out a place, grab the objective, and get out as quickly as possible. So the rate of the speed of the game for Halo 4 in me, I find very favorable. There are some cases where I think an instant respawn is a little out of place. So for things like capture the flag, and I don't know if this is just because the instant respawn system is bugged or not, but for game types that have that instant respawn for capture the flag, it's usually it'll reduce your spawn time from 8 seconds to 3 seconds. I don't know if that's particularly something that they should have done. And then when you do something with Slayer, there's some cases where you can instantly respawn, and then there's some cases where you can't. And I haven't noticed, or I haven't, or there's actually actual issues with the instant respawn system where it does not function the same way every time. Or maybe it's that if I kind of abuse the spawn system too much, like if I'm dying really quick and spawning instantly, then there may be a cooldown maybe after like my second or third one where it's like, no, you have to wait this much until you get like another kill again. I haven't really tested it, but it does seem that the instant respawn system is not consistent. I don't know if that's by design or if that's an actual issue in the game. But just as a matter of instant spawn being in the game, I'm not opposed to it. I think it's an interesting addition to it. With that said, the actual spawning system incorporated with the instant spawn, there are some bugs with it, because you can insta-spawn in the same spawn point while someone's just staring at you and just killing you over and over and over again, and you'll do that for three times in a row before you finally get spawned in another position. So there's kind of pros and cons to having the instant respawn in there, and I think it's another one of those systems where it's an interesting idea, but it should have had a little bit more testing and fine tuning before implemented in this game.
Perhaps a beta test.
Perhaps,
online
yes.
Beta. Yes.
Let's continue with my list. I think damage boost from ordnance drop is overpowered. Just get rid of it altogether.
Yes.
Especially when someone has that and the saw. Oh, forget it. Oh, my God.
So I was talking to someone about this, and they said the damage boost is actually an 100% increase, which, in my opinion, is like, that's not a boost. That's a damage multiplier at that point.
Yes.
If it's a boost, it just needs to be something like maybe 50% more damage. Because you can, if you have damage boost in a DMR, three shots, no matter what on somebody will kill them.
Many crits with the BR.
No, they're crits.
Damage boost.
Not many crits. They're crits.
It's a literal full crit.
Yeah, if we're comparing this to Team Fortress 2, it's a crit at that point. It's not, and it needs to be a mini crit.
It should be mini crits.
Right.
But currently, it's a full crit. You're getting double damage out of your weapon.
So if damage boost was maybe 10 seconds long and double damage. Okay, I might be okay with that, but damage boost lasts 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just you're wreaking havoc at that point, and there's really no reason for it.
Have fun with your DMR. Go for it. Get damage boost and pull that out. Get some headshots.
Yeah, so...
It's fun when you have it.
Yes. But yeah, definitely agree with that one. Let's see.
Kill cam needs to be fixed or removed altogether. Has no place in snipers or SWAT.
So, as far as whether or not they're in SWAT or snipers, I really haven't played either one of those plays to see the effect. But I can't imagine where, at least in team snipers, you're sniping. You don't want to necessarily give your away position from a kill cam. So I can understand that if the kill cams are in team snipers, it should be taken out of that one. SWAT, I think it's fast paced enough to where it doesn't matter too much. The issue with the kill cams that I do have, though, is that they don't work. If you watch someone after you are in a firefight with someone, rarely do you see them actually shooting you. You'll see their reticle somewhere way off in the distance. And it's based off of your network latency between yourself, the host of the game, and then that person. And that's not real time, their first person view, where their vectors, where they're looking and where they're shooting are. So it's those kinds of things. The simple fact is that the kill cams just do not work. Even the ending kill cams, they're completely a crapshoot too. They won't even necessarily show you the actual kill because, heck, it might look like someone's behind the wall at that point and they still get the kill just because the actual – I mean, and you can see when you're actually playing the game, yeah, it makes sense that they got the kill. But when you look at the kill cam, it's like, how did that even happen? So yeah. Kill cams are – they're very, very buggy. End rant. if you guys want to comment on that one,
just remove them.
Sure.
Don't have a place in Halo. This isn't Call of Duty.
Okay.
People are gonna say that to this episode, Daft, all you're saying is that Halo 4 is a lot like Call of Duty. But, well, yes, you're exactly right on that.
But I mean, we've had this conversation before, and I believe we've even had on this podcast where a lot of these titles are going to start merging in what they do, just because that's what people like in a shooter, and it's not necessarily one game trying to be another game. It's just certain gameplay aspects where they just work well in a first person shooter, and it's just everyone's going to implement their own way of doing it. It's not Halo 4 trying to be anything like Call of Duty, because there's aspects of Halo, Call of Duty, Medal of Honor, Battlefield spread around all the games.
Well, the funny thing is I play a lot of Battlefield. That's like my secondary to Halo. And when I'm playing Battlefield 3, it really doesn't feel like Call of Duty to me. I do not feel like I'm playing a Call of Duty clone whatsoever. Battlefield.
There are aspects to
Battlefield has it nailed, in my opinion.
Oh, I definitely. Battlefield 3 is one of the best shooter multiplayer experiences ever, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Now, I've definitely ran into significant issues with Battlefield 3. like just stuff with lag, with it's mostly lag and network code. And there's some other quirks that happen sometimes, but it's not as prevalent of an issue as things that pop up in Call of Duty or Halo 4 at this point. But going back to your point, there's just a lot of different elements that are going to be shared between games nowadays, and people are going to say this one game is stealing off of another game, and that's going to happen for a while now. And I'll know if we'll ever get away from that, actually. And yes, there are certain aspects of Halo 4 that are very similar to Call of Duty. Whether or not they're directly taken from it is arguable. There's definitely evidence to support that they're looking at other games and looking at different ways to implement. The one Call of Duty-esque like thing, and this is actually in your list, so sorry to kind of skip ahead, but is the fact that whenever you're doing Slayer, the total team points is by the tens, not by single numbers, single digits, as they are in, or how they have been in the past Halo games. And what Kevin Franklin said when we had him on our podcast was they wanted to reflect the amount of points you got on your personal scorecard with the team scorecard, and that's why they made it 10 points. Now, that doesn't necessarily kind of convert over to why when you do oddball, you score 2 points per second that you have the oddball, or why for a kill you couldn't have just done single digits anyways, because Halo's always had the single digits, so I don't think it really would have changed much. Sure, you could have the 10 points for your own kind of personal card, but I don't see a reason why you had to do that necessarily for the overall team score. So that's really the only kind of specific Call of Duty thing I pull out from Halo 4.
All right. Well, let's continue.
Feel free to speak up, because I know I'm speaking a lot here.
Kills don't need to be an increment of 10. That's for COD. Big Team Slayer is up to 100, not 1,000.
Yeah, I just addressed that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Comment. If you guys have comments, do it.
Ordnance drops.
I don't want to be the only one talking.
Ordnance drops your power weapons out way too much, and it eliminates the need for map/weapon control.
This one, I sit on the fence, because the multiplayer experience that they're really trying to deliver right now is one that's more fun and kind of free-flowing, where that whole map control thing is a little bit more for the if you're going for skill-based stuff. So what I'm anticipating is that whenever we get skill ranks incorporated into Halo 4, we will start to see maps that implement that kind of control, where we actually have weapons on the maps, not ordnance drops, and those will be placed into that ranked list, and then what we see now will be more of a social experience. Is that something that kind of makes sense to you guys?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my guess, and that would be my way of doing it if I were in charge of that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
Next one.
Banshee sometimes feels awkward to fly.
Yeah, it does.
I thought it was awkward in Halo Reach.
I thought it was cheap in Reach. I thought Reach. Well, it was cheap. But as far as like just flying into controls, I thought it felt like absolutely fine. I had no complaints about the controls of it. Yeah.
The flips definitely are the most awkward thing ever, and they did that to try to balance out the Banshee from how it was in Halo Reach, being able to Banshee bomb everybody. It still doesn't seem to help, because it seems like people have been able to figure it out. It's just more annoying now. It's almost easier for them to get splatters, because a lot of them have learned where that kind of dipping point is whenever they do the backflip, so they can just splatter you and then continue on Banshee bombing everyone else. So it almost kind of backfired on them in a way of them trying to balance out the fact that the Banshee fusion rod was, or the fuel rod was, kind of explodable in Reach, and I don't think they really kind of fixed that in Halo 4.
Mm-hmm. Drawing in progress puts you in games almost over.
Yeah.
So they have said that they fixed they've tried to fix the timings on that, and they've altered the algorithms on what games you join and when. I have noticed that a lot more of my recent games, I've joined into games that have only have been started within the last 2 minutes. And sometimes the scores are uneven, but most of the time they're pretty close. So I think they've definitely addressed that to a certain extent, and I think they're still kind of tweaking that from week to week. But from what I've seen personally, it's definitely improved over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, probably. No, I mean, keep in mind I made this list like right when the game came out.
Right. Yeah. But, so I mean, things have changed, but I mean, it's still good to bring these up. So.
There's no UNSC flying vehicle. I mean, that's just a complaint in general.
Yeah, I don't think they have many maps to support it right now. The only maps that would be able to support it would be Vortex. I don't want to say it because I'll maybe Ragnarok and maybe Meltdown.
Well, more importantly, for Forge/custom games, there isn't a flying vehicle with passenger seats. That's the problem.
Or Machinima, if you think about that too. Yeah. So, yeah, that's... I mean, from a gameplay perspective, just on how you play the game, it's not a big deal, but from being a feature in the game, yeah, it's definitely lacking in the human air vehicle.
Put the Pelican in multiplayer.
Oh, gosh, no.
Pelican laser, everybody.
You wouldn't be able to do the Pelican. So that kind of brings up an interesting point. Would you want the Falcon or the Hornet?
Falcon, it's just better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I want a Forerunner flying vehicle. Just like
we can fly around on. We went over this way, way back, and I was like, there should be Promethean vehicles, and there was not.
I don't really see a need for Promethean vehicles because... Just with the mythos of the Prometheans, they get around by going through slipspace portals and kind of just digitizing out of nowhere. So their need for transport is kind of mute.
I'm not like arguing with that. You're just like looking at it from that angle, like the kind of like the lore/realism. I'm looking at it more from like a gameplay kind of a /balance angle. Like, so they're introducing Prometheus. This is the rant we had before, but just very quickly, the whole point is, they're introducing this new faction of Prometheans. This faction, in my opinion, should be just as fleshed out as the other ones, humans and Coveys. Therefore, should have grenades, vehicles, and weapons. It's like the whole nine yards.
All right.
That was the whole point of my argument. I mean, hey, maybe we'll see Promethean vehicles, you know, in Halo 5 or 6. Who knows?
Fair enough.
Let's see what else. Games often start with uneven teams.
I think that kind of goes back, or that kind of ties closely with the joining in progress.
All right.
I've seen at least matches I've been in, I've seen uneven teams get resolved pretty quickly.
Okay.
Granted, there's still a significant number of games that start uneven just because whenever someone's going through, and so this, I guess to widen this topic a little bit, the fact that whenever you sit in the game or in the post-game lobby, like waiting for all your experience to show up, by the time that finishes and you hit B, you're already starting your next round of voting. And for people that want to get out of the game after that started, they have to leave, and then people are just kind of left there where they still want to play. So that window needs to be opened up, that time between when the game ends, you're reading off your experience, and then when the time the next one starts. In Halo 3, it was 20 seconds. In Halo Reach, it was 15 seconds. Personally, with how long it takes to show the experience in Halo 4, I think it needs to be at least 20 seconds. There needs to be a 20-second time window where people can back out if needed. And then on top of that, if there are enough people to start a game, then maybe go ahead and start a game and fill in people as the game starts up. But definitely don't you need to give people A, the chance to back out, and then B, if there is a significantly few amount of people, and like Just this last week, there were two times where I was in the party of five playing Capture the Flag, and on the other team, four people left, and it was just one guy to start with. And then it took about 30 seconds for more people to come in and join their team. So we had a significant upper hand advantage for a good part of the first part of the game. So just adding that extra time on there to be able to view your experience and then have people view their scoreboards and then leave is kind of a necessity at this point, in my opinion. Next one.
All right. The pregame lobby roster setup with the big squares is kind of stupid looking, in my opinion. Just use the Halo 3 / Reach, you know, like the list setup.
Yeah. I have a suspicious feeling that they tried to kind of reflect what they're doing with Windows 8. The whole Metro UI stuff.
I've heard from other people.
It's not Metro
UI. They're probably not wrong on that.
Yeah, it's not called Metro anymore. That name was taken from someone else, but it's this the whole square layout thing.
Made for Kinect. Made for Touch.
Yeah, we don't even have Kinect or Touch for the X or for Halo 4. So what's the point?
No, we don't need that crap.
It definitely is. It's an interesting different. It's an interesting new take on it. I mean, you can just open up the roster instead.
Let's move on.
All right.
There's no race game type.
Okay.
See, I mean, when entire game types are like missing.
But there wasn't race in Halo 2 or Halo 3.
But there was in Reach.
Was in Reach, but it's not.
It wasn't in Halo Wars.
It was. What? See, I mean, I guess you could have had it in Halo Wars. Just like spawn some warthogs and have them drive around.
Well, you can do that in Halo 4 if you're going by that criteria.
Okay,
you get a whole bunch of warthogs.
The official race game type in Reach was very helpful and very popular. They should have kept it. I mean, it's as simple as that. It's not even like there's no debate.
I have a feeling it'll come back. In talking with Kevin Franklin and seeing the kind of responses that they've gotten everywhere, it's likely one to come back.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be back, if I had to guess, probably March, April timeframe of next year. If not, maybe a little bit earlier.
So when is Azercats coming back?
Oh, goodness gracious. I actually thought about that game type the other day. I don't know why, but Lasercats, I mean, you could do it. It's just Slayer, right? So.
Yeah. Low gravity, Spartan
laser lasers. Cats, team bubble on bath. We need to have a team bubble bath game type, officially. What's the next one? I don't have a list in front of me, so.
Oh yeah, lack of custom game options.
So expand on that a little bit, because
I can't because I haven't checked it out myself really. But this is just what I've heard from a lot of people. There's a lack of custom game options.
So
it's word of mouth.
I want to say that's probably because we don't have as many game types. I want to say that's maybe the root cause. I don't know because I haven't. I mean, I've heard little spouts about it as well, but I haven't heard anything concrete of what specifically is lacking in custom games. I know a big gripe people have is the inability to control instant respawn for Slayer. And that is definitely a big issue, I think, because some game types, you may not want people to be able to instant respawn. And if you can't block that, then it might break your game. That's the only specific custom game type thing I've heard in terms of complaints, but other than that, I have not heard anything from anyone specifically saying what aspect of custom games they didn't like or didn't think was available to them that should be.
Do you think they would fix it in the future where there is some sort of thing you can toggle to increase respawn times? Or
I don't know if that's something they can retroactively put in there. They may be able to do something with like what they did with Reach with like the 85% bloom and maybe have that as a permanent switch in the game type. And then you can go in and modify that game type and save a new one. But as far as being able to fix the actual issue itself, I'm not sure. I haven't researched into that area enough to really know if that's even possible.
Because if you're trying to recreate that classic Halo experience, that's kind of a big deal, you know?
Yes, it is. Very much so. Next one?
Where are we? Being shot, while scope should take you out of scope. This is OP for snipers.
I haven't seen an issue with it, personally. There is a significant amount of jolt to it, so I almost think it's better in a way, because when you get hit, it doesn't just pull you out. Because if someone has a lineup on you and they just get zoomed out, they're still on the spot that they were looking, so they could still snipe you. Where this one is, if you get hit, you get bounced around and your reticle moves around. So in a way, for me, that balances out the ability to the bumping around balances out the fact that you can just pull out a zoom and
I have
still
the stability
be in the same
mod
spot.
So
well, and
what about that?
The stability mod just reduces it, doesn't eliminate it.
Yeah, but it still reduces it quite a bit.
I personally haven't run into an issue with it, or whenever I've gone up against somebody and they've still killed me, I haven't gone like, oh, the fact that I'm not pushing him out of scope is the reason why I'm dying. No, it's just, in my mind, it's just that he's out shooting me.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal, really.
Not to me either.
Oh, yeah, it needs a real ranking system. I mean, we've kind of been over that.
Yeah.
Well,
they're fixing that, so.
Yeah, they're that's something that they said that they're going to implement later, so.
Shotgun sound effect is weak.
Yes.
It sounds lame.
Let me expound upon that. So
silence.
So it's not just the shotgun. It's also the rocket launcher, the fuel rod, some other power weapons.
Scattershot.
From in terms of sound, yeah. Scattershot. So a lot of them just seem like they don't sound as powerful. I mean, granted, the effects that they exhibit kind of say otherwise. But on top of some of those sound effects, whenever you shoot rockets or daft your breathing. Whenever I use rockets or a fuel rod and it impacts on the ground or something, and there's really no like explosion residue there. It just kind of it hits the ground and then it kind of disappears. And I was actually talking to who was it? It may have been Green Skull or someone else, but apparently the reason that they're doing it was, it was actually Brian Newman. The reason that that's happening is because Halo 4 is taking up so many resources on the Xbox is that they literally can't have the effects stay there that long, in order to keep the frame rate in the game up. Another side effect of that is, have you guys noticed how quickly weapons despawn?
Yes.
Oh, so fast. That's like retarded.
That's apparently another side effect of their engine and trying to keep that frame rate up. Is that?
Yeah, and see, this is where we reach the point where we just all say, yeah, we need a new console.
I bet the Wii U could handle it.
Actually, you know, it might be able to. I think it's like Wii U is ahead right now, but then the new Xbox and the new PlayStation are just going to, you know, put it behind again.
Next year, holiday season, new Xbox.
Yeah. Halo 5, holiday season.
No.
See, that would have been the awesome. Like, that would have worked out really well, in my opinion. Halo 5.
Spring 2013.
Halo 5 launch title, like, for the next, like, that would have worked well.
Rumor mill is either Halo 2 remake.
Oh, that could work really well. Either of those could work really well, actually. That's fine then.
Yeah. The rumor is Halo 2 remake or Halo Wars 2. That's rumor, people.
I'm hoping for a Halo 2 remake, personally.
I think that's kind of where the strong amount of people are listening, or a good majority of people are leaning to, is the Halo 2 remake. But yeah, that's been one of those things for me. It's because I could deal with the 30-second weapon despawn in Reach. Now, granted, the fact that I'd be running up to a weapon and it just despawns in front of me, yeah, it kind of sucked. But I could deal with the 30 seconds of the weapon, but the fact that I can walk over a weapon and like want to go back and say, oh, I want to pick this up, and then it disappears as I go back to pick it up. And that happens to me very often. That, in my opinion, is broken. The fact that you gave me the option to pick up the weapon, and literally not even a second later, when I go back to try to pick it up, it's not there anymore? That's just stupid.
It's ignorant. It's wrong.
I don't know about ignorant, but wrong.
No, sure. I don't know.
I don't know if ignorant really applies in this situation.
If I'm looking at a weapon, it shouldn't be able to despawn.
And so it apparently it doesn't. If anyone is looking at a weapon, and this is what I've been told, and from what I've seen so far, this is actually how it works. But if you can actually see the weapon, like if it's spawned in your view, like, I mean, there's certain times when, like, if it's off in the distance, it might not appear to you, just to save on rendering. But if you can see the weapon, it's not supposed to despawn. And that's kind of one of those other things where it's like, if you walk over the weapon, sure, you're technically not looking at it, but I would still think if it's in within a certain range of you, it shouldn't despawn.
I think that used to be a rumor in Halo 2, that if you waited at a Banshee spawn and like looked at it, it would never actually spawn. Like, so the funny, base is on Coag, you'd just be standing there waiting.
So funny.
Come
thing,
on, Banshee.
Apparently in Halo 4, and this is kind of more applying to Forge stuff, but if you stand in the way of where something is anticipated to spawn, it actually will not spawn until you move away from it, and then it'll take a little bit of time for it to actually spawn. So one example is Pete the Duck, who does some forging stuff. For Dominion, for stuff to, like, whenever you extract a site, you can have certain things happen. And he's kind of demoed off where if you're standing in a place where something is supposed to spawn after you extract something, it actually won't spawn until you move, and then it takes about 5 seconds for it to spawn after you move. So for things like vehicles, if you're standing where it's supposed to spawn, I don't think it actually spawns unless you move out of the way and let it spawn. Supposedly.
Yeah.
I don't know if it works for vehicles as it works for scenery. We kind of got off topic a little bit. Did that kind of answer that point, Daft?
Yeah, I mean, enough. I kind of went over this before, but each game type doesn't need its own playlist, just combine it into an objective.
Yeah, right.
We've kind of been over that. I mean, also kind of a similar complaint. Need social and ranked playlists.
Yeah, we'll get that next year.
Has bad lag and delay with both the matchmaking apparatus and the in-game matches themselves.
Yeah, so I've run into lag issues a lot with Halo 4. I don't know if it's their net code or something, but it seems like the lag in Halo 4 is significantly more of an issue than it was in Reach. That's just from personal experience.
To use someone's post from the Waypoint forums, they need dedicated servers. The franchise hasn't made enough money at this point.
Yeah, but then they'd have to spend money on you. And you're going to buy Halo anyway.
Yeah.
If their netcode's good, though, they don't need dedicated servers. Not for 16 people. Not for 16 people.
Dedicated servers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good, but dedicated servers would make the experience even better. We'll just say that.
Fair enough. Next one.
It's not terrible netcode. There's been worse.
I suppose, but it definitely seems like this one is significantly worse than Halo Reach and possibly even Halo 3.
I mean, think about Shadowrun when that came out.
I never played Shadowrun, so...
Well, you
sorry.
Should be thankful. Because okay. The netcode in that game was pretty bad.
All right. And it seems like they've basically gone with a whole new networking architecture, too. I mean, it seems like a lot of the principles are the same on how they try to communicate stuff between players, but it seems like they went with a whole new code base. So, I don't know. Next one?
This is basically the last one. File share, the whole system, like searching, is a broken joke.
Yep, we talked about that.
Yeah.
So they're working on fixing it. It's just a matter of.
This is my conclusion that I wrote on the thread. I think this sums it up well. For those of you who misunderstand me, basically it feels like we're playing a beta. Like 343 is pulling a Medal of Honor and trying to patch everything later on. And yes, Microsoft is also probably to blame for rushing and money desires and such. There should have been an open beta for Halo 4 to address these issues before release. I really hope 343 is paying attention to all the feedback and will clean up this game in the coming weeks, and it will be an amazing experience soon. I'm not totally bashing Halo 4. 343 has a great game here. It just needs a lot of fine-tuning to reach its full potential. It's possible. Just get started.
I think that sums it up quite well.
Do you ever wish that Call of Duty would emulate Halo sometimes?
Do
something that Halo does for a change. Have those fans on the defensive all the time.
Every now and then, I guess. Yeah. But I personally see them as two separate experiences, so I guess I don't normally think about that as often, but I mean, there are times where it's like, well, I don't like whenever I turn around and start shooting someone, I don't get instantly capped by someone just from some lucky shot. So, yeah, there are times where I think taking from Halo would be kind of interesting.
You know what's funny about
that often?
You know what's funny about Call of Duty? You know, it's like when you play those the matches in Call of Duty where there's some guy, you know, just running around and stabbing everyone.
Yeah.
Because the phrase modern warfare equates to running around with a knife, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's another one of those things.
And especially, like, it's kind of like stupid in that game when like there's the throwing knife or the ballistic, whatever it's called, and like. The knife, like
the throwing knives and the tomahawks, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it hits the guy in the foot and he dies. And,
yeah, I think that's
so
one of the
stupid.
Yeah, that's one of the stupidest things ever.
Promethean throwing knife. Halo 5.
Maybe cause the guy to limp, but it just because you hit him on the toe doesn't mean he dies.
Yeah, oh, seriously.
He got a really bad infection, dude.
That's definitely one of my. Like,
you know, if you confronted like Infinity Ward or like Treyarch about that, they'd probably just come up with some BS. He was like, "Oh, you know, the knife is tipped with like a poison that spreads really fast."
Like,
yeah, bacteria or something.
Poison does not spread that fast. It's not physically possible.
it's a virus. It's a
E. coli. Viruses
don't spread that fast. Yeah. It's like some I Am Legend, you know, kind of mass virus epidemic, pandemic, whatever.
H1N1 has returned. And it's on the knife of your enemy.
Yeah, that's along with the uneven weapon balance, and especially like if you're new into Call of Duty and you try to go somewhat that's higher ranked than you that has all the weapons unlocked, that's just stupid. Those are some of my worst peeves for playing Call of Duty multiplayer. Is the game is so unbalanced compared to Halo, and compared to
Modern Warfare
3.
2 is. It's on the top 10 for Xbox Live.
Modern Warfare was where it's at. Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4 was fun. That was a fun game.
Yeah. I'll agree.
I think that pretty much hits most of the bullets on the head for all the kind of things that have popped up with issues with the Halo 4 multiplayer. Do you guys have anything else that you want to add? Because, I mean, we've been talking for an hour and a half. It's about time to wrap up.
Yeah. If 343 is just kind of taking things from other games to add to Halo, they need to take Borderlands' loot system and apply it to Halo somehow. So that every time I get a kill, I can run over to the body and loot it.
Well, so you already kind of do that in Halo anyways. I mean, people drop their weapons.
Yeah, but I mean, I want a weapon that will stay with me, and I want to level up. Like, the more I level up, the more skills I want. I want, like, extra perks. I want a skill tree.
Okay.
That would make specializations, like, even more meaningful. Each specialization would have its own skill tree.
Oh, my goodness.
I could spec, you know. Once you hit level 50, you have all the skill points you need. But then you can prestige.
Oh, no, 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 no. If, I hope Halo never does prestiging. It shouldn't even get to a point where it even needs to do prestiging. It should never. I mean, I was even kind of hesitant with all the weapon unlocking to start off with. I kind of understand it with having your loadouts and everything, a kind of a need to control that. But I still think it's a little ridiculous.
Imagine if Halo becomes a pay-to-win, massively multiplayer, first-person shooter.
I don't know if I'd play it anymore, to be honest.
But you can still pay for a subscription, but you can't buy microtransactions at the same time. You can have the sub, but you can't buy the microtransactions. Or you can buy the microtransactions, but you can't have the sub.
Yeah, I'm going to say no on that one. Interesting thought experiment, but no. Don't mess up the franchise like that, please.
$25 a month.
No.
You can go buy cards at Walmart.
No. No. Don't do it. Stop giving them ideas.
They can have a Pokemon-like collection game.
Oh, goodness gracious. What would they collect?
Halo-mon.
Halo-mon.
They're like Prometheus Pokemon that like just appear out of nowhere, and you have to catch them.
There's only three before different they zap Prometheans. That'd be a small list, dude.
Hey, man, the Prometheans had every species in the galaxy indexed. They could easily have some sort of Pokemon thing going on.
I guess that's technically true.
Imagine if they made a game where you're playing as a Forerunner.
I don't want to imagine.
You're using primitive, devolved humans.
I don't want to do it. Pokemon. No, don't want to do it. No. Stop there. Just stop. All right. Well, we're going to wrap up the show. We've talked about a lot of stuff with regards to war games and everything. So they've fixed a good amount of things. There are still some things that are significantly, I wouldn't want to say broken, but are significant things that need to be addressed in a timely manner for the game to continue to be successful, in my opinion. The playstyle is really fun. I personally enjoy playing Halo 4 multiplayer a lot. I wish I had more time to play it. But there are definitely some issues with war games that we've expressed here tonight and that just kind of need to be fixed overall. So just to wrap this show up, thank you guys for listening. If you have any questions or comments about anything we've talked about tonight, definitely feel free to email us at submissions@podtaggler.com, or you can go to our website, which is at podtaggler.com, and click on the big green submit button at the top of the page. Either way works. It gets to the same place. Next show, we will probably be reading through some user submissions since we have some of those backlogged for a little bit, and we'll talk about the bulletin. And at that point, we will probably be shotgunning our shows, doing kind of the pre-recordings, have them just kind of set up in line, and then distribute them over the holidays for you to enjoy. Make sure you check out our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/podtacktv. When we start doing these next few shows, we will be posting videos alongside them, hopefully. So whenever we do multiplayer tips, we will be putting out some videos to accompany those. Same things with Spartan Ops, and hopefully same thing with Campaign. You can check us out on Twitter, twitter.com/podtacular, or on Facebook, facebook.com/podtacular. And as Christmas gets closer, we will be, or the end of the year gets closer. I know there's some other people out there that probably celebrate other holidays, but we will start to be handing some codes out soon. I have a small kind of bucket of codes that I have just sitting by that I can throw some codes out. So we'll be handing out a few codes in the next couple of days. I'm trying to see if I can get some from Jessica to hand out as well. So if we get some from her, you'll definitely see those pop up on her Twitter and Facebook. We will not have Monday Night Matchmaking this week. It'll be Christmas Eve, and hopefully you guys will be spending time with your families. I know I will be, and hopefully Brent and Daph will be as well. So no Monday Night Matchmaking on the 24th, but on the 31st, we are planning on resuming it. So we will expect to see you then for Monday Night Matchmaking. We have a survey up for our podcast. We announced this on a couple of podcasts ago, and we've announced this on our website and a couple other websites as well. And we want to hear what you guys have to say about the show, what you like, what you dislike, what you think about the topics that we cover, the guests that we have on, the communities that we have represent themselves in the show, and other kind of subject matter experts that come on for specific topics, and a lot of other different little factors that kind of go into the show. So if you would go over and fill out the survey, it would be a very big help to us, because we want to end up making the podcast that you guys are wanting to listen to and will enjoy listening, and at the same time, it's something that be a podcast that we want to produce as well. So you can find that over at podtaggler.com/survey. So that will actually redirect to the Google form for you to fill out the survey for. There has been quite a bit of requests for voicemails back, so we will possibly be looking at bringing those back sometime early next year. There's some other little side projects that I'm wanting to work on too, so hopefully over the holidays I'll have time to address some of those. One that I will keep unnamed just for the sake of this, that's been on the back burner for quite some time. Hopefully I'll have time to work on that one. So kind of keep alert for shows coming out over the next couple of weeks, kind of bringing shows together hopefully over this week, and then just kind of stacking them up for you guys. With that said, I think it's time to kind of call it a night. Thank you, Brent and Daft, for coming on and kind of staying on late tonight.
Well, thank you, Dustin, for recording.
No problem.
As always. And we will see you guys on the flip side. Peace out.
Keep on fragging bolt shot enthusiasts.
Yes, please. Please do. Like, literally, frag them. In Halo, of course, not in real life.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's obvious.
Yes. Well, hopefully, yes.